I sent emails out earlier this week to about 75 people, men and women who have been or are ministry leaders in this community, and men and women who are members of the Third Order Dominican community that I have been part of for many years. I asked for help in describing humility. Perhaps you noticed that's the scriptural word of the day. I asked them for help in describing healthy humility. I thought that was very humble of me. So we want to offer you two simple thoughts today about humility for your consideration as you go about your week. First thought, true humility is healthy. Humility, in the sense to which Jesus invites us, is about truth. It is about truly knowing our worth. This is not something that financial accountants can tell us. It is about knowing who we are in relationship to God, in relationship to every other woman and man on earth, and in relationship to all of creation, to the planet. The word humility, in fact, comes from the Latin root humus. Now, that's not the Arabic ground-up chickpeas that you use when the vegetarians are coming over. It's not hummus, it's humus. The word means earth. To be human comes from the same root, humus, of the earth. To be human is to be an earthling. Among Christians, other Christians, we Catholics have a bit of a reputation of getting the idea of humility wrong. Did you know that? I have a friend, a brilliant woman, who comes from an evangelical Protestant background, who is becoming one of the more prominent Catholic voices in the country. And she is constantly showing me examples of how we Catholics, at least in terms of our popular understanding, our popular culture — this is not the teaching of the church, but it's the way we have sort of absorbed the church to ourselves — how we Catholics in our popular culture always get humility, or often get humility, wrong. We seem to think, more often than others, she tells me, that to be humble means to think of ourselves as lowly, as unworthy, as unimportant. We often seem to think that for us to use the gifts that we have individually been given for the good of the world is fraught with danger, because we might get too proud. We seem to think that that's humility, but it's not. To stop ourselves from doing that which we are called upon to do and that which we are gifted to be able to do for the good of the world is not humility. At best, it is timidity. But apparently we do that a lot, out of a distorted sense of staying humble. It is humility to understand that all gifts, all of our life, all of our gifts originate with God, so that to use them as they are intended is not pride, it is not vanity, it is simply acting according to divine will for us. If we begin to think, however, that we are the authors of our own gift, that we are the authors of our own life, that anything we do, we are doing entirely on our own, if we start to think that, that is vanity, and that does need to be corrected. I can't even cook an egg by myself. For one thing, I can't create the egg. I didn't make the pan. I didn't bring the energy into my home. I can't do anything by myself. But for me to think that I can is, as Jesus puts it in Luke's story today, to exalt myself. The result is, when we exalt ourselves, we will be humbled. And we don't need to wait for divine intervention for that to happen, do we? There are plenty of volunteers all over the place ready to show us the errors of our ways. I could introduce you to some. I've made plenty of mistakes, and I've had plenty of volunteers, much to my pain and to my profit. But when we are grounded in healthy humility, we can see both the incompleteness of our own role in the world and the importance of it. And we can keep those two in balance. Then we see that we have a responsibility and a great privilege to participate in the work of divine mercy, divine love, divine justice. Healthy humility, Christian humility, is that balance. When one is acting out of healthy Christian humility, one does not think less of oneself, but one does think of oneself less often. Thought number two, you can choose to be more truly humble, but that is not enough. Action is required. Humility is a virtue, you see, and virtue of any kind is not just a good idea. It is a consistent practice. It is a habit. Healthy habits, life-giving, life-sustaining habits, we call those virtues. Unhealthy habits, life-draining, death-dealing habits, we call those addictions. They're habits, and they can be changed if we act differently. Henri Nouwen is a Dutch priest who was a prolific and very gifted teacher and writer, expressed it this way. And this is a sentence that is much repeated around the world. Most folks who speak it probably don't know it came from a Dutch Catholic priest. This is the way he put it. You cannot think your way into a new way of living. You must live your way into a new way of thinking. But how do we do that? Here are some of the answers I got from my email helpers this week. To act in true humility is to seek healing rather than revenge. To act in healthy humility is to speak less and listen more. It is to lift up those around you, even at the cost of your own prestige. Christian humility is to have the trust of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and say yes to everything God asks of us. We can decide to act that way, but it only makes a difference if we do act that way. So real humility is healthy, and it requires our individual active participation. Ken Untner is the late bishop of Saginaw, Michigan, and he wrote these words about 30 years ago that puts those two simple thoughts together in a very eloquent way, I think. He says, we accomplish in our lifetime only a fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is another way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that could be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. This is what we are about. We plant seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces effects far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and do it very well. It might be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders, ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future, not our own. I love those words. True and healthy humility is to know both the importance of our work and its limitations. To know that we are not in charge, that we might give our very best all the time and see no results in our lifetime. We might even, by our own reckoning, think we have failed. To take all that in and continue to give all that we have in the service of divine mercy and love. To know that all we have to offer is all we have to offer. But it is also part of something much greater than ourselves. That is healthy humility, to be firmly grounded. It's a tall order for such a simple word. It's hard. That's why we come together here to be nourished by word and sacrament, so that our feet might stay firmly planted on the ground and our eyes might stay firmly fixed on the risen Christ.